Lisa's second chakra talk.
So your second chakra's got held and smuggled and seen. How do you feel? Second chakra. So much fun and so painful. Chakra talk. That was the chakra talk. What do you guys know about the second chakra? Relationships are more up in the heart, but this is the one where actually it's weird, because this is the one where we have intimacy. You know, where we really share deeply. It's the sexual chakra and the sensual chakra. So kind of, like, that's a lot about relationship. You know, so the second chakra is like, the heart is where we feel like love, and we're relating to each other from the point of love. But the second chakra way of relating is more like a wrestling match. Does that make sense?
It's like
a
WWE or like a...
Either way, WWE or like, you know, sex wrestle. Either both. We do all of that down there. What else do we know about the second chakra? Orange, yes. It is creative. It's creative. We have two chakras that are really creative. We have the second chakra, which is like reproductively creative. You know, but a lot of our creativity actually comes from the fifth chakra. So things like painting, writing, art comes from our expression from the fifth chakra. So the way the second chakra creates is really like reproductive, like it's like generative. Does that make sense? Yeah, so it's less about creative expression than it is about generative energy. We do need both kinds of energy. So this chakra, when we talk about the stages of development, this chakra comes in at, you know, the first chakra was conception to 6 months old, right? And even before conception, so if you're bringing into that first chakra even your past life stuff and what's happening in your newborn life. And then the second chakra starts developing at about 6 months. It goes from 6 months to about 2.5, right? And psychologists call this the oral stage of development, if you study child psych. And it's connected to the limbic brain. So the limbic brain is the animal brain, the midbrain. And we know that the first chakra is related to the brainstem, the reptile brain, right? So the alligator is a really great example of your first chakra. And it's about that subtle. But if you brought a golden retriever in here, you'd have a really good sense of your limbic brain. So it's the emotional brain, the animal brain. And actually the stage of this brain, this part of your brain is developing during the stage of human development. And one of the major things about the limbic brain is it processes our primary emotions. Right? So just your primary emotions. The higher level of emotions happen in your heart. Like if you're feeling love and joy and peace, those are heart things. But these lower emotions are like rage, anger, happy, glad, sad, mad. You know that little feeling chart that you kids in school? Are you happy, glad, sad, mad? You know? It's the five color crayon box is the lower center of our feelings. So our primary feelings. So that happens in there. This part of the brain also processes our sensory data. So you know, little kids, you give them toys that stimulate their sensory ability. Crunchy toys and blighty, yucky toys and soft, touchy toys. So it manages our sensual self. And I don't mean like sexual. So sensual is the part of you that's connected to your senses.
Sorry.
You know? And little babies, like babies that age love sensual things. They like put their toes in their mouth and that like feels so good. It probably does. I mean, I don't know. It's been a while since I've been able to do that. So it processes the the sensual side, it's also, it's very polarized. So it thinks in a black and white way, you know? It thinks in terms of pleasure and pain, good and bad. It's kind of polarized. And it's interesting because like our gender identity goes down there. So things are kind of split into good and bad, up and down, this and that. The other thing that happens during this stage of development is the movement is really important. So this is when babies, infants start to crawl. They start to move. You know, they're moving around. So all of those things, movement, sensory stimulation, emotions, are all what gets developed in the brain during that stage of human development. And they're all what's going on inside this chakra. Later on, as you mature, the chakra also holds sexuality. You know, our sexual impulses, our reproductive impulses, reproductive organs. So I would say it's a tightly packed chakra, and it usually has, people have a lot of issues in this chakra because, you know, of course, you're totally fine with all of your feelings and your sexuality. You've got no problems with any of that, right? It's all good. You get that all stuff all figured out. You know, what happens to wound this chakra is guilt. So we have fear in the first chakra, we have guilt in this chakra. And guilt is what happens when you're made to feel bad about meeting your own pleasure needs. So children are pleasure seeking. Don't ever tell my daughter I told you this story. When she was little, she used to be like, she needed so little alone time in the bathroom with the lotion. You know, with the diaper lotion. You know, and that's how kids are. I mean, if you have a little boy, the minute you take off his diaper, he's like, and so children are just pleasure seeking. And what happens, you know, from an evolutionary biological standpoint, we feel pleasure when we meet our biological needs. Sleeping, eating, sex feels good. And we feel pain when we don't meet our biological needs. Pleasure and pain, this is the pleasure and pain chakra. We would not have evolved beyond cavemen if that weren't true. Do you see that? Okay, so this chakra blocks when you're made to feel guilty for meeting your pleasure needs, whatever they are. You get 15 automatic hit points off the chakra if you're Catholic.
I was literally just thinking that.
I know. You get another 10 hit points off the chakra for growing up in New England. If you're an Irish Catholic from New England, you just really got some work to do. Sorry. So what happens is guilt shuts this chakra down in the form of repression. So the more repressed you are, the bigger a problem you have with this chakra. Does that make sense? So when we do vow work in here, you're gonna check your family's vows around how far are you on the repressometer. You know, I love my hippie Unitarian parents. And on top of all that, my mother was French. So, I'm naturally like less repressed than, I'm just a Catholic. I'm Unitarian. But I feel a lot of gratitude for that. So you can think about how repressed you are. Do you guys want to take a little repression test right now?
Sure.
I'm going to stand up. So stand up. So now we're going to move our hips a little. Move your hips. And see if you can move across the clock, like hit all the points on the clock.
Clockwise.
How is that?
Does it matter?
Can you move? Doesn't matter. If you pass, we might know where you're going. Can you do figure eights? Can you get a little sense about my second chakra? If you can't move and you're like if you need an oil can down
Just getting in it.
Does that make sense about this chakra?
Yeah.
Okay. Tomorrow, I'm going to, because one of the problems we have in these chakras is how we manage our feelings. So tomorrow, I'm going to work with you guys and teach you how a better way to manage your feelings. Because one of the things that happens in this chakra is that we tend to repress our feelings. You know, one of two patterns. You're going to repress your feelings, which is like, I'm fine. I got no feelings. Good. Good, good. Or you're going to flood, which is flooding is like, I'm going to feel, I have something to feel. Right? So you're probably either a flooder or a repressor. Or you may be a repress, flood. Yep.
Pretty much.
And tomorrow I'm going to teach you, there's a second another option here, which is about containing. Containing is we learn how to hold the emotional energy and move it up through our chakras so we can actually do something productive with it. Because I feel strongly about this because it makes me sad that no one ever teaches anyone the proper way to manage your feelings. You know, and because this is a school that's really predicated on your ability to start feeling, we need to teach you a way to manage your feelings. So we're going to do that tomorrow.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yes.
Yes. This one here. Oh, do we have a mic for him? We need somebody to give him a mic. There's the door, Margo.
Lisa, so. Let's put together like a long list, 15 ways to describe the sacred chakra. Like this, if when the chakra is open, you feel this, you feel this, you feel this, you feel that. So let's say like from 1 to 14, it seems like my chakra is open, but there is one that is not working.
Right.
And I say, well, I need to open that chakra a little bit more, or so. It brings me to the confused to, is that not the chakra? So it's everything seems to be okay, but it's one thing that it doesn't fit into like, a, it's a problem with the chakra.
Right.
So what is that? My question is, my chakra is having problems, or is just normal?
Always room for improvement.
Okay.
That's my thought. And I am going to talk about what deficient looks like, what excessive looks like, and what balance looks like. So, you know, and if we're always striving, we're, you know, always working on it, hoping to bring ourselves more and more into balance in this chakra. So I think we can always work on things.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. I want to talk a little bit about the wounds of the chakra. So we're going to talk about excessive and deficient, and which way to go. So you remember, excessive means you're overcharged. There's too much energy in this chakra. Deficient means you're undercharged. There's not enough energy in this chakra. And if you have a wound, like some stuff goes down in your family around the stage of your development, how you go one way or the other. Okay. So we might have like you might have problems with this chakra if your family never lets anyone have emotions. So if you grow up in a family where you're not allowed to be emotional, you can have a problem here. You might have also only some emotions. Like you can only have the sweet, warm, loving, nice emotions, but you're not allowed to have any of the other emotions. So the other ones get pushed into the shadow. Does that make sense? Also, if you have had any restriction on your movement during this stage of development, so my generation of people, maybe less for our younger generations, were often movement restricted. Really old school people would tie you to the crib. You know, like at night, people were like tied down into their crib so they wouldn't get out of bed. My generation, we didn't do that. Like my mother told me that happened in her family. You know, when she was little, to her little brother, she remembers her mother tying her into the crib. In my generation, it was the playpen. You know, the playpen. You would be put in the playpen, and that restricts movement. You know, so if you're not allowed to move, you can really have a problem with this chakra. Also, if you weren't really allowed to bond, if you didn't bond with your caregivers, so if you had a parent, a mother, whatever, nurturing caregiver you had that didn't bond emotionally with you, that's going to create a problem here. So Anna Day and Judith calls this the undernourished child. And this one has a lot to do with feeding, nursing. So you can ask yourself, were you bottle fed? Were you breastfed? And how did that go? Were you allowed to bond with the person that was feeding you, nursing you, or bottle feeding you? You know, people who are like sort of old school, we don't really do it much anymore, but like allowed to cry in a crib. This is the biggest thing I've seen here. People were allowed to cry in the crib and put on a feeding schedule. Mm-hmm. Sort of Dr. Spock, old school parenting, like you don't pick up the child when they cry, you let them cry it out, you know, they're fed on a schedule, as if babies, as if 6-month-old infants were being naughty. Do you know what I mean? Or like trying to fuck with their mothers. I'll show you, baby, like who's the boss. Right? Now, my generation of mothers, we learned better, so we did attachment style parenting. You know, we had family beds, we nursed until they were 4. We did, you know, maybe not so much, but, you know, we knew that we needed to let our children bond with us, and that creates a healthier chakra here. Does that make sense?
Yes.
The other thing that really whacks out this chakra is any sexual abuse. Sexual abuse of any kind damages this chakra tremendously, and also the third chakra. So, if you know, when we have an adult, sexuality is very strong. It's very powerful vibrationally, and when that's put on a child who has a very delicate energy field and a very delicate nervous system, it overwhelms, swamps the circuits of a child and really messes it up bad. So, they can go undercharged and become sort of asexual, or become overcharged and become sort of like, you know, overly sexual. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Yeah, so there's a lot that gets packed down in here in this chakra. Any questions? So you kind of look through yourself, through your own family history and your own, how was your family around feelings? How's your family around sensuality? Around nurturing, around emotionally connected. And you'll see how this, when we do the vow work, you might find some vows based on what was going on with your family. All right, so the excessive chakra, and this, if you guys are an emotional intelligence specialist, or in many charismatic leaders fall into this category, team players kind of go either way. Creative idealists will depend on your secondary. Okay. Excessive second chakra is soft hips and belly. The hips sort of tilted back, like this, you know, like this sort of a sway hip like that. You may be up addictions rather than excessive chakra. So what happens is when our needs don't get met, we look for our needs to get met through other stuff, like our primary needs of love, attention, nourishment, affection. When that doesn't get met, we sort of have a hole in this chakra. It develops like an empty space that is, you know, we fulfill with addictions. And we're going to go deep into addictions in the fifth chakra, so we got you on that one. But that's something that we have here. It's a sort of like neediness. This chakra is like, can be, when it's excessive, can be very needy, can be very, like, almost like vampire-y. So if you get people that are emotionally sucky, very needy, there's, this is an overcharged chakra. Overreactive, over-emotional, victim-y, poor me, impulsiveness, and X sort of will do anything to get their needs fulfilled. If you're a flutter, if you're flooding, emotionally flooding, you're in this category. Does that make sense? So to heal this one, we need to work on containing and focusing the energy, which we're going to work on that tomorrow. So we'll learn how to not bleed all your emotions everywhere, long-range goal setting, any kind of emotional therapy, emotion code, you know, talk therapy, psychotherapy, healing work, of course, really good. And working through finding healthy outlets for sexuality and anger, like, you can join me in the boxing gym anytime you like. And sports, working through things with your primary mates. So focusing your energy, this emotional energy into creativity, it needs to be focused in productive outlets. Addiction recovery sometimes is important there too. Who thinks they're excessive? Pretty much all charismatic leaders fall here. Some don't. If you're a charismatic leader, that is like a keeper or an opportunity or secondary, you might not. If you're an emotional intelligence specialist, yes, you've got this. All right, the deficient one, there's that, when we did that movement, you may not have gotten a lot of movements down there. You may not actually like to move. You may be the one who's like, oh my God, we're dancing again. Oh God, I'm so standing against the wall. We're so gonna give you lots of practice about this movement. If anyone who has a rigid six-pack abdomen, oh, you have such a deficient second chakra. You know.
Phew, I'm glad I don't have that.
Okay, do you want to see a really funny one? Jill, can I have you come up here for a minute? Yes.
Oh, boy.
Show me
a
six pack.
Show us your step, Jill.
Jill's
going to
show a six pack?
No, Jill's not going to show a six pack. So, it's so funny you can tell how what people are going on here by how they hug. So, okay, here, what do you bought out, hug? It's efficient second chakra, right? It's like, Mom, I'm not going to touch anything with my second chakra. So that one, or if you have the, like, excessive, this is the excessive second chakra hug. Shut down sexually or sensually, you don't feel a lot of passion. So passion is, we didn't really talk about that, but when this chakra is functioning properly, passion is what you should feel. Passion for your life. Passion for everything. Who thinks that they're, oh, who's got a question? Okay, we need a mic over here.
I have a question about the neediness. You seem to say that someone who's not needy is because they have a deficient second chakra.
Usually, yeah.
I identify more with the excessive second chakra, but my vow is never be needy.
Right. Yes. And that doesn't suit you. So your natural state is to have a nice, big, juicy, delicious second chakra. And usually when we have that, and we're little, our parents don't like it. Especially if you had more knowledgeable, achievery parents, where you would, you know, they're going to shut that down. And that's where the vow comes. You know, so if you had a parent that didn't like it when you were needy, quit whining. Stop being so needy. Oh my God. You know, that just then you vow to never have needs. And like what you've come here to do is to, you know, shift that. So I'm just gonna hold all your hands while I say this. Everyone is needy. Everyone is needy. The second chakra is a need machine. And there's nothing wrong with being needy. Like, you need to eat, you need to sleep, you need to have friends, you need to have sex, you need to have a fulfilling life, you know, you need to have pleasure, you need to have fun. You are a need machine. It's part of being human. Does that make sense? So if you have any idea that you're not needy, now there's overly needy, there's like the black hole vampire needy, right? That needs... That's when the need gets projected out into the world. So ultimately what happens is we need to learn how to meet our own needs fully, then any needs we get met from the outside is like a cherry on the sundae. Make sense? Yeah, we had another question? Wait for the mic, honey. It's coming. The mic is for the live stream people so they can hear the question.
Who is it?
Chris.
I'm sorry.
I feel like I'm kind of both.
Yes, many people are both. Many people are both. So common to have this one split, where in some circumstances you're shut down here, excessive or deficient, and some ones you're the other way. So super common, especially charismatic leaders tend to be split in this chakra. Yeah?
Can you be balanced?
Can you be not active in certain areas of the second chakra and still be balanced because you do other things?
Maybe. I mean, it doesn't mean you, like, if you can have a balanced chakra and not be like a sex machine. You know what I mean?
Tap like, dance instead of sex, or you could, you know, eat chocolate. You know, certain things, you can be missing certain things and then make an awful
No. That's just a no. So if something is going on in your sex life, Reese and I were talking about this morning, and he was like, if we could just clear up all the shit in people's sex life, school, we could just graduate them on the spot. So, you know, that part of your she needs help. That's what it is. And you know, you could choose celibacy as a, you know, lifestyle. Lots of people do. You can have a healthy sex life if you don't have a partner. You know, there's all kinds of different options down there. But if you're like, you know, if you're married and you haven't had sex in 17 years, you got a problem that needs to get worked on. You know, it's part of our humanness to have a healthy sex life. And it might be one of the most important parts.
Well, I'm not saying it's sex for me.
Okay.
This is not about sex for me.
Okay. It's good to know. Good to know. So yeah, let me read the balanced one, and you can decide whether that's true for you. And there are definitely people that have balanced chakras here. I saw one once, it was sort of like a unicorn. So you might have like really fluid movement is a good part here. Being very passionate about what you're doing. Being safe emotionally. So safe emotionally yourself. So you're fully managing your emotions and also fully capable of managing other people's emotions. You're comfortable with change. This is a chakra that's always fluid and changing. You have a strong self-image. So you like yourself. You're like your own body and feel good about yourself. You're present and connected in the moment emotionally. You have deep, compassionate eyes. You have wide emotional expressions, so you're able to fully express all of your emotional self. And sexually and sensually alive. So this chakra is fully, and this chakra is really, what's not in here is passion. You feel fully passionate about your life.
Does that mean all dancers have balanced sacral chakra?
No, it doesn't mean that all dancers do. I don't think we could say that. We'd have to take it on a case-by-case basis. Mm-hmm. Yeah?
What if there are certain areas of your life that you're very passionate about?
What if there's certain areas of your life that you're very passionate about, and then, say, it's not completely integrated, say, for instance, work is off, but, you know, you dance, you have friends, you entertain, you sing, you blah, blah.
Yeah. I mean, we're a work in progress, you know? So if you're taking sort of like what Adrian said, you know, if you're taking 9 out of 10 boxes, that's fantastic, you know? And you can think about if the other ones are if there's improvement, what you need to do to improve down there.
Really?
How are you feeling about your second chakra? Any other questions? Well, let's talk about healing. Let's talk about the deficient one. If you have a deficient one, Reese wrote these, they're so funny. Sensitivity training. Emotional practice. So if you're deficient down here, you just need to get friendly with your emotions. You know, and become, it's sort of so people that are deficient down here sort of lack empathy. You know, they're like, I don't know why I feel that there. So knowledgeable achievers are often deficient down here in this chakra. And they're like, I don't know why you're having that disgusting emotion the police saw right now. You know? So empathy is the ability to, there's a couple of definitions of empathy, but they all belong down here in this chakra. So one of them is the ability to sympathize with what other people are feeling, where we just like get it, like we have emotional attunement. This is why we call the emotional intelligence specialist. So the emotional intelligence specialist is naturally emotionally attuned. They don't have to be taught that. You know, like charismatic leaders that have a lot of emotional intelligence specialists in them will also be like that. They just are tuned into the emotional channel. So that's one form of empathy. The other form of empathy is like what we talk about when we talk about empaths. And a lot of you guys are that. A lot of healers are that. And that's when we feel what other people are feeling. We feel their feelings as if they're our feelings. This is an excessive quality, you know? And we feel in our bodies what they're feeling in their bodies, and we feel in our emotions what they're feeling in their emotions. Fantastic tool if you're gonna be a healer. It's a built-in MRI, X-ray machine so that you know what's going on in somebody, and it's meant for you to support people in some way. You know, so that's something, if you have a balanced or excessive chakra, you're going to have that capacity. But if you lack attunement, if you lack empathy, you've got a deficient one. Does that make sense? So if you have a deficient one, you want to learn empathy. Talk to people about how they feel. You know, you want to learn to bring up more feelings. Like, really explore your emotional range, you know? I often recommend people start a feeling journal. If you know you're deficient here, that you just write in your journal every day. I'm like, and maybe in hindsight, well, yesterday at 11, I think I was angry. Today at 3 o'clock, I was happy. It's a knowledgeable achiever thing. And so knowledgeable achievers need to practice. It's like you like go into the gym. So, and the goal would be to learn how to feel your emotions in the moment as they're arising. And this school sometimes is challenging for people like that, because we're all about the feels. You know? So you have to feel to use a pendulum. You have to feel when you're doing crystal ball work. You have to feel when we're doing healings. And that drives knowledgeable achievers crazy, because you really want to be good at it. And you can't be good at it if you can't feel it. So catch 22. And the best way to get better at it is to do all those things. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Do you guys have a lot of love for your second chakra now?
Yes.
Yeah. And the benefit of really working it through is to have full range of your emotions. To have full range of your ability to navigate change, to have pleasure in your life, to live a passionate life, to have a fully sensual and sexual experience in life. This is the party chakra. Yeah.
It's just so interesting. I need to keep asking you questions, so. Let's think like this. My chakra is perfect, balance, everything. But how do I know that? They say, I'm in the room, and a lot of people don't even have the second chakra. It's completely blocked. Like, how my chakra is going to work? My chakra works perfectly. And then, the emotion for the other person is just no emotion. So I can feel my emotion in my because I feel good. But it's, let's say the whole room has a came from war.
Mm.
That chakra is completed. And I'm here with my chakra moving and everything. So what happened to the other ones? So what is that sensation that I'm balanced? When The only way that I feel that I'm balanced is when I feel the other chakra moving with me.
Yeah, that's so right, honey. You're so right there, because this chakra is all about the dance. It wants to be met. Mm. You know? That's the nature of this chakra. So it is going to be painful for you if you can't find anybody to do that. Mm-hmm.
I say this because it also goes in the stage of life that we can be living. Mm-hmm. As a younger person, as a middle age, as an older, you can be balanced, but the life, you naturally move less as you get older. So what happened with the chakra? I'm going to start losing as I get older?
No, I think it just evolves.
Right?
You know, it evolves. And, you know, and there's always a way that you can find it. I mean, of course, this is the wrestling chakra. You want to have a person. Like, you can't dance the tango by yourself. You know, but we need a partner, we need playmates, we need lovers, we need, you know, all of that to interact with people in this chakra. And the best thing you can do is maybe in that room where no one's chakra's working, you're not going to get that. But somewhere in your life, you got to find people where that's going to happen, and that's these people. These are the people that you're going to practice doing that with.
Thank you.
Okay? All right, so we're gonna go back into our individual rooms now. We're gonna get your charts out, and we're gonna go into small groups and do your chart work on this chakra.
Yes. When this room was getting cleaned up, I had my folder and a notebook on the corner here, and it's disappeared.
Ask those people over there, they will.
There's people over here.
Those people
did. I did ask.
So we're going to break into our rooms and do chart work. Thank you guys for the chart work.
Thank you. Stuff on it.
So we had today.
We just did our circle. So I turned around.
I put it on the corner there.
And I'm freaking out because it has so much.